are listening to KIRN 670 AM, Simi Valley, Los Angeles.
Live from
Hollywood.
خب شنوندگان بسیار عزیز، همینطور که خدمتتون اعلام کردم دیشب در برنامه جوانان با 670 و در آغاز برنامه امشب، بسیار خوشحال و خوشوقت هستم از اینکه مهمان این لحظه برنامه لایف فرام هالیوود رو که اولین بار هست مهمان برنامه ما هستن، خانم رون استورم رو معرفی بکنم بهتون و گفتگومون رو با ایشون آغاز میکنم. همینطور که خدمتتون گفتم، ایشون یک هنرمند بین‌المللی شناخته شده‌ای هستن که به کشور عزیز ما ایران سفری داشتند و 3 ماهی در ایران زندگی کردند. با خصوصیات اخلاقی ما، زبان ما، فرهنگ ما، هنر موسیقی ما، همه و همه، شاید بگم از خیلی از ما ایرانی‌ها شاید بیشتر آشنا هستن، با اینکه مدت زمان نسبتاً کمی به هر حال اونجا بودن، 3 ماه، ولی اگر به وبسایتشون سری بزنید مقاله‌های متفاوتی در مورد ایران نوشتن که مطمئناً براتون خواندنش جالب هست. ronstorm.com رو میتونید سری بزنید. در حال ایشون الان مهمان ما هستن و من دوست دارم که با اجازه همه شما عزیزان سلامی بهشون بگم و خوش آمد. Thank you for being here.
خیلی ممنون سوزی.
خیلی ممنون to you for being here and making it.
خیلی ممنون برای آن دعوت.
خواهش میکنم. Long time no see.
Yes.
When was it exactly that I saw you for the first time?
I think it was in
4 months ago, maybe?
Very beginning of October, maybe end of in September, fall. Something like that. Yeah.
Oh, very good. And I remember وقتی که شما رو دیدم. If I talk in Persian, you follow me, or would you rather me in English?
Okay, let's talk in English. Let's see how far we can get in Persian.
when I met with you, من شما رو که دیدم, you mentioned to me that you were going to travel back to Iran. And when I asked you to come to the show and so that I can have an interview with you, because I was totally mesmerized by you and the fact that you spoke Farsi and you sang in Persian and you played the dayere, and it was so wonderful, wonderful. And then you said to me, okay, I will go to Iran. I promise when I come back, I will be in touch and then we can set up an interview time. Then I heard from you from somewhere in Europe, maybe Turkey or Greece, I can't really remember where you were exactly at that time, that you said that, no, I couldn't go to Iran, so I'm going to be back in LA sooner than I thought. So, what happened? And I'm glad to have you back anyway.
Thank you so much.
Here in Los Angeles.
Glad to be back here too. So, well, I went to Iran and I was not allowed in the country. And for which exact reasons, I'm really not sure. But the first time that I was in Iran, one of the issues may be that I tried to get a visa extension 2 times, which is exactly what I was told in the beginning was perfectly appropriate. But in fact, possibly that was grounds for suspicion. I don't know, because but the fact is that I really did not want to leave Iran the first time I was there, which was coming up to 4 years ago, which when I went there the first time.
Okay, I want you please to go back and start from when you first started being interested in our culture, our language, our music. And what happened to an American lady who all of a sudden, to me all of a sudden, I'm sure you had your own reasons why you did what you did. But if you please elaborate on that with my listeners, I'd really appreciate that. And then we would move on to the newer stuff, and I saw you bringing Daire or Daf, and then you're going to be playing that hopefully live for us, and then we will talk about the event that you're going to be there next Thursday.
Thank you so much. My fascination with all of Middle Eastern culture happened in a concert of Persian music here in Los Angeles in the 60s. And I don't remember how I arrived at this performance, but it was Santur and Tombak. And this was in a period of my young teenage years when I was searching for something real and not finding very much like that in Hollywood culture. My family had moved here from the East Coast, and different values, different idea about things. And I was just having a struggle as a young person, and somehow found myself with this just extraordinary concert of Santur and Tombak. And
Do you remember their names?
You know, I don't know who they were, and I have asked around all of the Santur players who may have been in Los Angeles at that time, and I still don't. I'm not certain. I'm not certain who that might be. But the experience of being in that space with that music was absolutely transcendental. I don't know what words to give that experience. It was as if all of the room disappeared, and the only thing that was left was energy and light and something that was very, very real and nourishing and very, very powerful. And it was a really very important spiritual awakening for me.
Interesting. Very interesting. And then you moved on to what was the next step that you took after that?
Well, at that time, I was still kind of groping, trying to find my way. But this experience had given me a reason to be alive. Really, it was that powerful. It really was that powerful for me. Mm-hmm. And the result was an opening in myself. It wasn't really a conscious choice, well, now I'm going to go and pursue this music and learn about this music. It really wasn't like that. It was just something that happened and opened. And after that, many, many coincidences started happening. And I did try to find more Persian music recordings and had a hard time in Los Angeles at that time.
Yeah, because those days there weren't that
there
many
weren't
Iranians,
that many Iranians here. And and then, but I did find Arabic classical music, Om Kalsum, the great Egyptian singer, and the great oud player Hamza el-Din from Nubia in Africa, and Turkish classical music and Greek music and any kind of music like that. I was a real weirdo in my peer group because I never could relate to the music that most of my peers were listening to. I was never really interested in, you know, what the kind of music you're supposed to like when you're a teenager.
Right, right.
I was always listening to this Middle Eastern music and
unusual
Persian music
at that time.
I'm sorry?
I said unusual at that time, even at this time, not necessarily all teenagers, especially American ones, would like to listen to traditional classical type of music. It's just, I guess, the age and the hormones or whatever.
I guess, I don't know. But for me, I mean, but I think my mother was really wondering what happened that her daughter was involved with this kind of music, because no one in my family, certainly, I mean, we're a very typical kind of WASP family with no Middle Eastern background that I'm aware of. And so
maybe
it was,
in your other life somehow?
I think, you know, if there is such a thing, that would certainly explain a few things.
Okay. And then as I was reading a little on your bio and checked out your website, I believe you moved out of the country, out of United States, and you went to Greece
In 1993, I went to Greece to stay there, and that occurred after a very interesting series of coincidences. I had been living in New York City for a long time, and I was involved in all different kinds of Middle Eastern music. While I had also a business renovating apartments, design, architecture and design built. And so I had many opportunities to play different kinds of music from the Middle East. And I was usually, well, I think I was always the only one of those people who were in the crowd and playing their music. So I attracted some attention because what is this? This woman, American woman, what is she doing? You know. But interestingly enough, I ended up, I've taught really quite a lot of people music about music from their own culture, which maybe they are not aware of. So, but after those many years of being involved with music in New York, I was very, very hungry and interested to finally go to the Middle East. And always Iran was in the back of my mind as a destination and somewhere that I needed to go. But somehow it seemed like I needed to prepare myself for this very important trip. And
journey.
I'm glad that I did do that because in New York, in around 1990, I produced my first concert, which was an effort to bring some awareness to American people about Middle Eastern culture. Because even at that time, in 1990, all of the things in the media seemed to be negative about the Middle East. So I produced a concert, and it was a very, very successful. It attracted many, many, a big crowd, and it was very, very successful. And they wanted me to do another concert similar. So I started thinking about all the influences that we have in Western culture that come from the Eastern culture. And I started studying and researching and reading and realized that from Iran and from eastern parts through coming westward and coming into Turkey and Greece and through the Mediterranean like that, and then coming into Europe and then eventually into the United States. It seemed a very, very powerful path that was leading me backwards in time, and I thought that that the three countries that I wanted to the four countries that I wanted to visit the most were Iran, Turkey, Greece, and Spain, for different periods and different reasons why lots of cultural influences came from those regions. And literally within 6 months, I was invited to all three countries, Turkey, Greece, and Spain. And so it was a very odd thing that I was dreaming about exactly those places. And suddenly I was invited there as a professional musician. So I went to Istanbul, Turkey for the first visit, and it was remarkable. I mean, it was truly remarkable. And then I came back and I said, okay, I got it. I'm supposed to, close my business in New York and come over to this part of the world. So about a year later, I managed to take care of all my business dealings in New York and closed my company and jumped off a cliff and went over there.
Wow, you are a big risk taker. Good
well,
for you.
It didn't seem like a risk. You know, I think that many people call me a risk taker, but it really didn't seem that much of a risk to me at the time. It just seemed like what I had to do. There was no question about it. It was just the next step.
That's wonderful. We're glad to hear all that. شنوندگان عزیز با خانم رون ستورم صحبت میکنیم که بانوی بسیار هنرمندی هستن، نوازنده دف و یک اینسترومنت دایره که حالا وقتی از پیام‌ها برگردیم ازشون خواهم پرسید که راجع به دایره صحبت بکنن. وبسایتشون هست runstorm.com که میتونید سری بزنید، مقالاتی که نوشتن رو بخونید که چقدر راجع به ایران، کالچر ما و مسائل جالب و گوناگونی صحبت کردن که مطمئنم لذت خواهید برد با خواندن مقالاتشون. و بعد هم امیدوارم که برای ما ساز دف رو هم که همراه آوردن بنوازن که مطمئنن لذت خواهید برد. ترانه و اشعار رو هم به فارسی میخونن و به هر حال بانوی بسیار با سلیقه، با ذوق، و خوشحال هستیم که امشب فرصتی دست داد تا در خدمتشون باشیم. با ما باشید بعد از شنیدن چند پیام، و بعد هم خبر خوش دیگر این هست که میتونید ایشون رو از نزدیک پنجشنبه آینده که میشه 28 ژانویه در لکما ببینید، که در اونجا هم برنامه خواهند داشت که مطمئناً جالب و دیدنی خواهد بود.
It's beautiful. Thank you, Ms. Ron. Thank you. It's beautiful. دوستان عزیز، خانم رون ستورم که مهمان ویژه برنامه Live from Hollywood امشب هستن، ازشون خواهش کردم که یه قطعه کوتاهی برای ما بنوازن. محبت کردن، دف رو همراه خودشون آوردن که الان کوتاه برای ما نواختن. ممنونشون هستم. حتما حتما اگر فرصت دارید و وقت، به دیدار برنامهشون برید که پنجشنبه آینده 28 ژانویه هست در تالار موزه هنر لس آنجلس، یا همون لکما که میشناسید، میتونید تشریف ببرید و این برنامه رو از نزدیک ببینید. البته I have to say here to give myself some credit that I really didn't know about anything about لکما when I originally invited you and met with you. I just wanted, because I was so overwhelmed by who you are, what you've done, the fact you've been to Iran, and the fact that you love our music and our culture and our language. I just thought it was fascinating, and I wanted to invite you to my show, but it coincided with the fact that you're now going to be a part of this event, which made me even happier. Why not? But the original reason I invited you was for you and who you are and what you have done.
And now I'm glad that you are going to
play
it.
Thank you so much. It's another stroke of wonderful kismet.
Oh, well. And I also have to thank Dr. Sophe and his wife, because at that event that, was happening the Monday night, that they do have this, gathering every Monday, and Dr. Sophe is now the president of it. That's where I met you. And so now you're here. It's all for a good cause.
Yes, very much.
Now that we were talking about the other instrument, the daire, that you call it, my colleague here, Ali Reza, went online immediately and checked it out. And he called me over and said to me, I think you're pronouncing this wrong. It's daire. And I'm like, yeah, I do know of an existence of a daire. But when I met with Rowan, she did specifically call it daire, and even on her website, it's called daire. So I did not make a mistake. And then we called you over and showed you online what we call daire and what we call darie.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to say something about that. So
well,
please go ahead.
The names of these percussion instruments especially are really quite confusing.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that one of the reasons for that is that instruments, the names of instruments very often have to do with either their function or what they're made of, or some characteristic about them which comes from one particular language. For example, if you go to Turkey today and you say the word daf, people look around and say, oh, this is a daf, this is a daf. What they mean is that it's a frame drum. And the distinction of the frame drum in English means that it is the wall of the frame of the drum is a shorter dimension than the diameter. So there are many, many, many varieties of this kind of instrument called a frame drum. And the names are very, very localized. So because you might know the name of this instrument as darye, I learned the name daire from my principal teacher of the daire, who is Mohammed Reza Lotfi, who referred
That's
to
right.
it as daire.
Yes.
And so I think it's a very localized thing, and there is not an absolute about this. Because also daf seems to be a very old Semitic word that has been around since at least the time of the Bible, because it appears in the Bible in a different form. Tolf is one of the original names. I think the original Persian name is, I can't remember what it is. Is it dope or top? I don't remember, but it's a very, very old word. And so it could refer to many, many, many different kinds of instruments, really depending on what location you are in. Because, for example, daf in an Egyptian context means something like a daire zangi, something
I
like
see.
A tambourine.
Are you hearing this? Are you listening?
And then you go to northern Greece, into Macedonia, and you say daire, and it's another kind of a daire zangi, a very large one with big zills, big zang.
Mm-hmm.
And also in Albania, same thing, you call a daire, and that's what it is in daire. So these names are extremely localized, and it can lead to some very hilarious conversations with people, because one person thinks that they're referring to one instrument, and the other person, because they're from a different geographic location or a different country, they think they mean that. For example, tar in Persian language refers to a stringed instrument. Yes,
right. Right.
But if you go into the frame drum community, a tar is a frame drum from North Africa.
Wow. Confusing enough.
It's very confusing, yes.
Okay. Well, دوستان عزیز داشتیم راجع به فرق لغت دایره، داریه و دیگر اینسترومنت هایی که ازش استفاده میشه به بسته به ملیت های متفاوتی که در میدل ایسترن کانتریز، حالا ایران، ترکیه، بعد کشور یونان و همه اینجا هستن، داشتن خانم سرم توضیح میدادن که فرقاش چیه و هر جای هر اسمی میتونه کاملا متفاوت باشه با یک جای دیگر و هر کدوم مفاهیم و معنای خودش رو میتونه داشته باشه، ولی به هر حال ایشون چون نزد استاد محمد رضا لطفی موسیقی کلاسیکال ایرانی و پرژن موسیقی رو به هر حال تحت نظر استاد فرا گرفتن، این هست که با تمامی این اسامی و به هر حال این کارها آشنایی کامل رو پیدا کردن و همینطوری که گفتن این ساز به خصوص دایره هست که حالا وقتی به وبسایتشون هم سری بزنید میتونید اطلاعات بیشتر رو در این مورد جویا بشید. و اما I'd like to ask you, first of all, do you have any poetry that you want to maybe read for us, one of the Persian ones that you did the other night at the event that I met with you, Anjuman Hambastegi Mashaghil, that I met with you? And if not, then I'd like for you to maybe talk about this event that is coming up at LACMA that you're going to perform.
Maybe after the next break, I can say some poetry.
Absolutely. I didn't mean to caught you off guard. Okay, let's talk about your involvement.
So I would love to talk about this event.
This LACMA. Yes, what happened? How did you get involved?
This event is, I was invited by Khosrow Soltani, who I met quite a few years ago when I was studying and performing with Ostad Mohammad Reza Lotfi in Switzerland. And because Mr. Soltani lives not far from Zurich, which is where Ostad Lotfi was living at the time, we were in company together quite often and got to be friends in that setting. And then I believe it was about a year ago, a friend of mine here in Los Angeles was talking about this gentleman coming from Europe who plays Ney, whose first name was Khosrow. And I thought, I wonder if it's the same person. And sure enough, it was. So it was a very wonderful, another stroke of kismet, another wonderful thing. And then I was in London about a month ago teaching a framed arm workshop, and I had a concert, so I invited Khosrow to come from Austria, and we had a concert together in London about a little bit more than a month ago, and that was really wonderful. And we are joined now also by Mehrdad Arabi, who is a very dear friend of mine, and we've been friends just about ever since Mehrdad came to the United States, came to Los Angeles, which is
He's been on my show actually in the past.
Yes,
in the Life from Hollywood show, one of the great musicians we have.
Yes. Yeah. So it's very I'm very, very honored and pleased to be able to share the stage with these two wonderful,
wonderful
musicians.
Wonderful. And the time of the event is going to be 7 o'clock, 7 p.m., Thursday, January 28th at LACMA. If you need more information, you can check out the website for farhang.org. Farhang.org can let you, you know, get to know more about that event that is coming up Thursday, January 28th. And we got to go to our commercial break. When we come back, شنوندگان عزیز, بخش آخر برنامه Life from Hollywood امشب رو تقدیم حضورتون میکنیم و از خانم استورم خواهش خواهم کرد که اگر قطعه رو آماده دارن در ذهنشون از اشعاری که بعضی اوقات اجرا میکنن برای ما هم اجرا بکنن امشب در برنامه Life from Hollywood. با ما باشید بعد از شنیدن چند پیام. And this one was the daire you played, right?
This is
Did
how,
I say it right?
I know this instrument as the daire.
Yeah, that's
I don't
what
know.
I said, yes. Daire, yes. I know it as daire since you explained to me.
Oh, okay. This is actually my own design, which I, since I studied with Ostad Lotfi for approximately 5 or 6 years, I was very interested in finding an instrument that was well balanced. And traveling all over Iran and wherever I travel, I'm always looking for percussion instruments. And finally, I designed this one, which I believe is very well balanced. And it's made by Cooperman Drum Company, which is a company in Vermont, in the east part of the United States. And it's tunable. And it's made from it's made from maple wood, which they get from the forest near their plant in Vermont. So it's really a wonderful. I'm very, very happy with how this drum turned out.
That's excellent.
Yes.
So people can actually purchase this?
Yes, yes. It's available
cool.
now. Yes. There's a link on my website, which is probably easier for people to find the connection to the drum. Mm-hmm. And I will be doing some more workshops and promotion for the drum eventually.
And but, is it easy to learn how to play this daire? Or?
Well, I teach workshops actually all over the world. And I believe that it's an instrument that is easy to get in the front door, not like a violin or like a ney, which takes a long time just to get a sound. Mm-hmm. And as many things, it's simple in the beginning, but if you want to get much more advanced on it, of course, it takes a lot of work. But my teaching method is based on walking, and it's based on the movement that our bodies are already making all the time. So I just try to hook people up with ordinary life and ordinary movements that we do throughout the day. And so it is an easy entry instrument. It's easy to play a very basic rhythm. And I really encourage people to learn how to play a very basic rhythm, because if you can walk and if you can talk,
you should be able to.
Then yeah, I think you, and so many people have blockages about that. They think, oh, I can't hold a steady rhythm. And I say, well, do you have any problem walking? You know, I mean, and even people who may have a slight problem with their walking, it's something that really is very natural to us, because we live in a world that is full of rhythm.
So you don't necessarily have to have any musical background or reading notes or anything
No, not at all. Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. There are all cultures in Africa, I believe. There are many cultures in Africa that people, as soon as people are born, they start singing and playing drums and dancing because it's their birthright. Right. And I believe that about us, about all humanity, really, is that it is our birthright. And I don't think we have to go to school for 50 years to learn how to play some kind of instrument. Of course, it depends on what level you are talking about and what you want to do with it. But for the basic rhythm and the basic access to accompanying music and being inside music, it's really very accessible. Mm-hmm. And I love to guide people through to that place of discovery. It's very
exciting. That's interesting. One thing is very interesting to me is, if you wouldn't mind answering me here right again on the spot, is that how do your own people, American, white American, think of this kind of a music? And when you have your workshop, who mainly is interested to come by and learn from you? Are they mostly Middle Eastern people or... actually, American people are interested in learning the instrument and learning about that kind of a music and that part of the world?
I would say I have a very, very broad mix of people who attend my workshops and seem to be interested in drums. It seems to be something going on right now in this time in history that, not surprisingly, we are kind of coming into our own in a way that I think we have not had that kind of authority in the world for a very, very long time. And I think that women's drumming seems to be becoming more and more bigger and bigger, and more women are joining into this thing. So it's not so much an ethnic group, I think, that I could speak about, because I really have every kind of person comes to my workshops. Mm-hmm. But I do notice that there are more women than men in my workshops.
So it's more of a gender issue than...
And not even that, because I don't... sometimes I might have a special event only for women. Mm-hmm. Because I do believe that frame drums... are the domain of women for thousands of years. It's been shown by the archaeologists that in the ancient cultures of Sumeria and Egypt and Greece, those are the three oldest cultures where the frame drum shows up, at least 5,000 years ago. That's just in monumental temple kind of architecture. And but I believe that it's much older than that, really, really much older than that.
Very interesting. Thank you for answering my question. Since you mentioned when, you know, you were in your teen years and in those days, it was kind of unusual. I just asked that question wondering if time has changed and people are now showing different interests in different parts of the world.
Well, I do think that American people and non-West, I should say, because I'm in many different places in London and Greece, and I'm in many different countries where I teach, and non-Middle Eastern people, I'll put it that way. I think that there is very, very much an increasing interest and concern about the degree of misunderstanding that exists in the world about Middle Eastern culture and about Muslim society and about what is this religion and who are the people who are involved in religion. Unfortunately, there is so much misunderstanding, and I'm really very happy to shed some light on some of these questions for people. So it's a very big question. But the drumming seems to be something that is accessible to everyone. I mean, everyone can make a steady sound. Maybe they don't have the greatest technique in the world, but it is something that is very, very empowering. And I believe that traditional societies where drumming was a part of it, and traditional dances where you hold hands and go around in a circle, I believe that these kinds of things were part of a whole very, very complicated set of values that were that existed in a traditional society that I think people are really very hungry for those things today. In the mechanized world, you know, when machines do everything, we've really lost touch with the joy of simple work and the rhythm of simple work. You know, of hammering a hammer, I mean, or so many things. Weaving. I love to talk about weaving because I believe that textiles and drumming have a very, very profound relationship, and especially the bond between weaving and drumming, which exists in women's society, because weaving has been dominated by women since since the beginning of time.
Yes, I'd like to also mention about the writings that you have done on carpet concerts, chemical or classical Persian poetry, classical Persian music, Iranian culture facts, which is very interesting. I read some parts of that. And then culture of the Silk Road.
Mm-hmm.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, those writings are a compilation of notes that I wrote for various concerts over periods of time. And again, I'm really quite interested in pulling back this veil of misunderstanding and just trying to be a bridge. That's kind of what my life seems to be about, is I seem to be a bridge. I can be in this group and I can be in this other group over here. And I love to find the connections. And I'm not sure if that answered your question.
Yes,
but
no, you did. I appreciate that because I know the time is kind of running out and we have to kind of do the wrapping up or the show this evening. But just before we close down here tonight, I'd like to ask you which part of Iran that you visited that you liked most? Which
cities? That's a very difficult question. Yazd comes to mind right away. Kurdistan comes to mind right away. Mashhad, Kashan, Qom. I went to Qom. I had a very, very interesting time in Qom. And
Love your accent.
Thank you. If I weren't so shy, I would try and speak Persian, but I'll leave that for another time.
Next interview.
Yes. But all of Iran, I must say that it's just an absolutely magnificent country. And I was so, so, so fortunate to be able to be there for almost 3 months. And I traveled all over Iran, all over the place, alone. Much of the time alone, by choice. I have many friends in Iran, and
I'm sure you're such a lovely person. That
well, traveling, thank you. But traveling on the bus, I mean, I believe that going into a foreign culture, it's a very, very powerful way to understand oneself and to understand what is it that ties us all together as one race and one. We're all human beings, and we all have very similar kinds of ideas about life on one level, and on another level, I could say that that we have very different ideas, but it's the commonality that I think is very, very precious, and that's what I want to focus on in my own work as a musician and as a writer and as a teacher also. What are those elements that can bring us together and find harmony with one another?
God bless you. Thank you. On that note, if you are ready to do a little bit of a poetry that you have in your mind, anything, we will do that, and then we will say goodnight, and I would thank you. And also I will mention once again that to see Ron Storm, you can go to LACMA on January 28th, which is not tomorrow, Thursday, a week from tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, and see her performance.
Is it 1 week or 2 weeks from
what
tomorrow?
What are we today?
I think it's
today is 13th. It's 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Thank you so much for your correction. It's going to be 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Hey, I got nervous suddenly.
No. It's 2 weeks. Thank you for the correction.
Yes.
January 28th. I'm ahead of myself.
Uh-huh. Ey دوست بیا تا غم فردا نخوریم وین یک دم عمر را غنیمت شماریم فردا که از این دیر فنا درگذاریم با 7000 سالگان سر به سریم.
Bravo. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Omar Khayyam.
Yes, Omar Khayyam. And thank you again, Ron Storm. And you can check out her website, ronstorm.com. شنوندگان عزیز، وقت ما به پایان رسید. ممنون سپاسگزارتون هستم برای که اجازه دادید دو ساعتی دیگر در برنامه Live from Hollywood از 670 AM KIRN رادیو ایران که روی سایت 670 AM KIRN.com